This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sharing you a little behind the scenes, I'm telling Orin what cuts we're going to play. Hi, everybody. Dukes and Bell, man. Chris is in for Carl today. Beautiful friggin' day, man, on a Friday.
Yes.
Great crowd in here. Look who just rolled in. My good friend from former Mother Russia. Hello, friend. How are you? Yes, sir. It's Ukraine. Yeah, man. Good crew. Uh-oh. Hey, look who's here. Reyna. Oh, can we take a picture? My wife's not going to be on my social media real quick. Hold on. Oh, come here. You're so sexy. Get in here real quick. Sharing with the audience.
While Mike is taking the picture, I will say that, is that our good buddy Yuri? Yeah, it is. It's our good buddy Yuri. He is actually long-lost cousins of our new Dukes and Bell NBA correspondent, Luka Doncic.
That's right. I love Yuri. Let me tell you, Yuri got me into a physical fitness program. He's one who told me to go with Diet Coke when I go to Arby's.
And when you mix it with your vodka. You now do vodka Diet Coke is what I'm hearing.
By the way, anyone who drinks vodka and Diet Coke, you need to bang your head against the wall. That is terrible. This is not Jersey Shore. No, I'm being serious. This is real advice. Real life advice. Vodka and Coke, or vodka and Diet Coke. Disgusting. Disgusting. Mix it with soda. Mix it with tonic. Anything. Orange juice, a screwdriver. Don't do that.
Now, Luka, you know, because LeBron's out and you're carrying the load for the Lakers, you need to not be drinking right now.
How about Bronny yesterday, huh?
17.
How about that? By the way, if you made that bet that Bronny would score more than 10 points, that was probably 2 zillion to 1. You'd be a zillionaire. What? That's not a joke. It's social math.
Well, don't disparage your teammate now. You need him to win.
No, he's human victory cigar for us. Or tremendous defeat, victory for other teams cigar.
Luka, I think you're treading some dangerous water here.
I think Giannis basically said ole. You think Giannis is going to D up Bron, kid? Come on now. What world are you living in? The world where you drink Diet Coke with vodka.
Well, exactly.
You're living like an animal.
I am from New Jersey after all, Luka. But here's the thing. I think you guys have a real shot at sticking with the 2 seed if you continue to play the way you're playing, sir.
Everybody says I don't play defense. How do you like me now, huh? How you like me now? Ever since I get to Los Angeles, I get down to my goal weight of 2 metric tons. You see the results. And with that, it's time to talk dogs. About Georgia and talk dogs. Sorry, I was trying to multitask. I was trying to do the bad Luka jokes and try to get this photo of Reyna tweeted out real quick.
Well, Reyna's always worth tweeting at.
Yes, she is a calendar girl, by the way, for the Twin Peaks calendar, and she makes an unbelievable drink. Slim is doing our production today, our engineer on site, and we were just talking about a Mezcal Old Fashioned, which is one of her specialties, and man, is that great. And let me just tweet this real quick. Okay, there you go. It is Chris in for Carl today on Dukes and Bell, the dog report. We were starting the show about this. I mentioned this to Chris. I'll do the briefer or smaller, shorter version, the Reader's Digest version, as we used to
Cliff
say.
Cliff notes.
Then we did at 2 o'clock. If Georgia had explored Rick Pitino as an option 2 years ago, think where Georgia would be right now. Think of the power of Rick Pitino. St. John's was deader. As awful as Georgia was, St. John's was just as far in the weeds. I know they're in a major market in New York City. They play in the Garden, but it didn't matter. Nobody cared. And Georgia, until Georgia fans really start to, you know, let the athletic director, Josh Brooks, know how you feel about this. Because I've always put it out there. Yes, occasionally people want to go to Stegman. Steg's daughter's there, and it's a fun environment. I know the old days, I missed out on Tubby. I've seen more pain than glory at Georgia when it comes to men's basketball in my 27 years here in Atlanta. But the point I'm getting to is most Georgia fans don't care because you've given them nothing to care about. Imagine if you had brought Rick Pitino back to the SEC. He knows this area. He knows how to win here. I mean, think about it. He's going to get national pieces to come into Athens. He'd keep Georgia kids here. You're going to play for freaking Rick Pitino for a year and go to the NBA. He's better than – he coaches circles around Calipari. Calipari couldn't X and O his way out of a paper bag. Pitino knows how to win. And it just drives me crazy because you went with a guy, nice coach. Mike White's got a nice resume. But he got out of Gainesville before they were going to fire him. We spoke to a couple of Georgia – and this is not news. Spoke to some Georgia fans yesterday, a lot of Florida fans. I've seen it on social media. It's like that's what you get with Mike White, a mediocre result. So if you had gone with Rick Pitino, if you'd gotten away from your typical sanctimonious nonsense, which I don't hear from everybody, Chris, but I do hear from some Georgia fans, I don't want to win that. You don't want to win that way. You don't win anyway. You don't do anything with men's basketball. So we're going to get sanctimonious about Rick Pitino. And, yeah, there's some crazy stuff that happened in his life in Louisville. But he's, if you go back, he was exonerated on the Chargers. And they made a point of that on the documentary on Vice Sports. And I encourage you to go, if you have nothing else, Wikipedia it. You can read about it. But no. George, we wouldn't do that. Yeah, Bruce Pearl's icky too. Everybody in men's basketball is icky. It's a used car salesman convention. It's a Sopranos episode. These guys are all bag men. So George is going to sit there, oh, no, we won't do that. We'll go get a mediocre guy who washed out at Florida to go basically humiliate the program in his one trip to the tournament. You could have had Pitino.
When you look at the state of Georgia basketball compared to the state of Georgia, and then you look at the state of Alabama basketball, Tennessee basketball,
right,
compared to where their football programs are, the gulf that is present between where Georgia right. is compared to those two programs is miles deep compared to those right. other schools. The question, Mike, is, why? And the answer is exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, I just feel that, you know, and we just talked about, if you missed Yeah Man, No Man, just talking about Will Wade, you know, who, you know, gets a show cause penalty from the NCAA, about as heavy as a penalty you can drop on you. He goes and coaches up the street in Lake Charles after getting jammed up. Remember, he refused to leave. Everyone was saying, just go already. Quit. So, I mean, this guy was driving some people crazy at LSU. Eventually, he goes, his rep couldn't have been any worse.
Nope.
And then after 2 years, you know, winning is a car wash. And he goes through the car wash, and now he's at NC State. A tradition, you know, that goes back to Jim Valvano. They haven't done Jack recently. And they want to win. So they'll get in bed with a guy who's sketchy. But Georgia won't do that. So we go with the Tom Crean's and the Mark Foxes, and they just don't do Jack. And now here's the worst part. Because you had a mild amount of success, he'll be back next year. You bought another year for this guy, who's not going to do anything because he doesn't have the ability to bring in the national talent the way the other elites do in the transfer portal.
Yeah, and it starts, as we always talk about, right here in the great state of Georgia. You got to get more recruits from in-state. And the problem is, Mike, you're probably, if not definitely, losing your best player to the draft in Asa Newell. So you're starting over with Silas Demery Jr. and them boys. Like, there is no right. second, third, fourth option on this team right now. As we saw yesterday, them get completely exposed. I mentioned it earlier in the show. Gonzaga's starting five by midway through the second quarter. I'm pretty sure they almost, if not all of them, had double digits. That's a well-rounded, well-constructed team. Georgia does not have the ability, as you just said, to recruit that type of talent right now where you can have a complete basketball team. You were still relying heavy on two guys that were performing well, and then the rest of the team was not able to live up to their bargain. So right. what does that mean right now, Mike? That means right now you're going into next season with the potential of backsliding instead of improving.
Right. And I heard Steak talk about it. You and I talked about it when it was happening yesterday. Look, they have a turnover machine. Where's your poise? Look, you got to burn your timeouts. Get all your timeouts burned. Figure it out. 27-3. of all, I mean, everyone was making the hype about the 14 teams in the SEC. Missouri gets upset by Drake. Texas maybe didn't deserve to be there. But Georgia, you don't look like you deserve to be there at all.
No.
And so that it just frustrates me because, and the reason a guy just hit me, I'm like, why are you getting in your bag, Mike? Because I'm paid to have an opinion, you tool. Okay? Because I get sick of Georgia just being meaningless in men's basketball. You know, just like it was fun years ago to watch Georgia Tech really play some meaningful games. This year, I know they got jammed up with injuries. I think another year, it's kind of a make or break year for Coach Dame, you know, next year. You know, if we're honest, he needs to step it up, man. Mighty Mouse has got to go with Georgia Tech next year. It just frustrates me. I want to see all our local teams win. I want to see all our local schools. I want to see Brent Key be successful so the Georgia Tech game means something every year. I mean, that's what we want. So sorry if I'm crying, just expressing an opinion. If you're a Georgia fan, if that's you that just texted, because you don't give a crap about Georgia basketball. Just admit it. We can all get on with it. I'll stop talking about it.
No, Mike, at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. We all want these teams to do well. But you need to be able to produce the things that get you down that road. That's in-state recruiting.
Right.
That's talent acquisition and development. That's being able to live in the world of the NIL and the transfer portal. And this was a colossal failure as right. an examination of how that all came together in crunch time.
You could be St. John's right now. You see what Rick Pitino did? That's coaching. That's when you take a guy, yes, oh, he's a little sketchy. Everybody, we just said it. I mean, I'm sorry, I know I'm belittling the point. There's nothing but sketchiness in men's basketball. Now it's all legal. Literally, NIL. Now it's legal. Hey, man, let's switch gears, Chris, and talk about the Braves real quick. Great outing yesterday for Spencer Schwellenbach. We've got some audio, though, from Ken Rosenthal. Where is this audio from?
Let's check our cut sheet that we aforementionedly referenced.
I don't know if this is from a podcast or...
Yes, that would be on foul territory.
I want to give credit because that's what you do in radio. You don't just cut and paste and so we got to tell you where it came from.
Yes, foul territory podcast.
Listen to Ken Rosenthal gushing about your Atlanta Braves.
I am intrigued by the Braves, obviously, because of what the projection systems say. Most of them have the Braves as the second best team in baseball behind the Dodgers. And I'm also intrigued by the depth that they're building with some of these minor league contracts in recent weeks. Hector Neris, James McCann, Craig Kimbrell. And finally, Alana, I know it's spring training. It doesn't count. I shouldn't even be paying attention.
I want a podcast with somebody named Alana.
That's Alana Rizzo, the former Dodgers sideline reporter who's now with Falta. That's a cool podcast. Have you ever checked that out, by the way?
I'm going to now.
Yeah, it's a cool podcast. It's all former players who got together and decided to make a podcast, and they get really good at guests and interviews like Ken Rosenthal talking about the game. But I got to be honest, Mike. I don't know if I fully agree with what he just said. I think he was...
Second best team in baseball.
He was naming...
But if you want to just talk about lineup and bench depth, okay, pitching. But again, if Schwellenbach looks as good as he does, if Strider doesn't miss a beat coming back with Ronaldo Lopez and Chris Sale, then I can be okay. You know, worrying about Garrett Holmes, worrying about Holmes and wherever we go with Ian Anderson. Probably, I don't think Ian Anderson makes the team, if I'm honest to you.
He has not shown the ability to get people out and most importantly, limit the walks.
Grant Holmes. He's bounding down.
To limit the walks that he's needed to. Mike, I don't know if you can afford to not at least give him a shot, though, because who's A.J. Smith-Shaw? Is that like Hurston Waldrop? Is that the guy that you're going to – because, again, it's not only about the fifth starter, Mike. You're going to need a sixth starter sooner than later. Not immediately, but a couple weeks from after the season starts, because Lopez and Sale, they're going to need their extra day off.
Right.
So what are you going to do?
Well, I mean, this is why I wanted one more starter, one more big money pitcher. When you're a team that spent so much money as the Braves have had, I mean, like, I'm trying to go a whole week without doing this rant every day, but that's why I always bellyache about the pitching. Because what happened when you played the Phillies? You ran out of pitching 2 years ago. Had that great lineup, went cold. But remember, it was two guys it was Strider with the oblique issue week, that year.
And Fried was sick the year before.
You can never have enough frontline starting pitching. That's why the Dodgers have guys that wait. They can't even get into like a best of five or in some cases even a best of seven. That's why the Braves, when they were doing all those great things under Schuerholz, they had guys that would win 18 games. Like Millwood or Nagel might not even get a start in a best of five because you were just that deep. Not the case, unfortunately, with Alex. Alex approaches it differently, as you know. He will not overinvest in starting pitching. But the bullpen is also the concern. That would be why I would disagree with Ken Rosenthal about being the second-best team in baseball. This isn't even like the fifth-best bullpen we've had in the last 5 years.
No, I think he's counting on all the – he listed four or five guys that they've added in the offseason to contribute, but that's a lot of see-it-to-believe-it type stuff for me, Mike. Like, I'm not just going to say Craig Kimbrell is going to go in there and return to form, or an Alex Verdugo is going to go in there and play like the guy in 2023, not 2024, when he fell apart with the Yankees. That's a right. lot of ifs.
Hey, man, a couple of guys reacting to my rant about the Georgia Bulldogs. Appreciate your passion. A lot of guys feel that, yeah, that was the play. They love the idea of Rick Pitino. A couple guys said, Mike, don't keep the receipt on me, says Jack. I had your back. Meanwhile, Marcus Johnson, Mike White's got Dominique Wilkins' son coming next year. He's going to be an impact freshman. Also from J-Lock, reminding us, Dominique from Grayson High School will be at UGA next year. So Jacob Wilkins is coming to UGA. But is it going to be like Ant-Man, or is it going to be something you can build around and make a run? Because you have to be able to do what Calipari does and what Pitino does, what the elites do now. You don't get these guys for 2 years, let alone three.
And we also saw yesterday that he clearly still has a lot to learn in terms of big game, in-game coaching.
Yes, I agree with you. I thought, you know, the turnovers, the lack of poise, not getting Asa Newell to be more of a focal point. I don't know. Asa Newell was coughing up too, to be honest, in that first 10 minutes. Hey, guys, it's Dukes and Bell with Chris. We're live. Guess who showed up? Hasselhoff is here. Jerry's in the house. The ladies' choice for shenanigans. Check out the picture of Raina. I just finally got it on Twitter at MikeBellATL.
Yes.
She's zesty. We'll come back. Obi Mihaly on how do you deal with a locker room with Kirk Cousins in it next season. Hey, man, my compadre Carl Dukes out in Las Vegas, the best time of the year to be in Sin City for the tournament. Imagine all the games, the parlays, the fun. So jelly. But anyway, Carl is out, so Chris is in. Chris Thomas in for Carl today. And the second best place would be Twin Peaks. The photo is up at Mike Bell ATL of Raina.
Sure
the
is.
Lovely bartendress. Real quick, guys, the big story today, as far as I guess the big upset, would be what's going on with Memphis right in Colorado State.
Yeah, that one's been back and forth the entire time, Mike Bell. And I'm going to refresh the old ESPN app right now and see what we got cooking. I think when it comes down to it, though, you're going to see probably two or three, I would guess, more upsets than we got yesterday. Because yesterday, although we did have the big Clemson upset, it was all relatively chalk other than that. And yes, Mike, Colorado State did pull it off,
yep.
And they ran away with it at
the
end.
We were going to break at the end, so we didn't get a chance to see the finish. But it was coming
78-70.
So, Penny, that's Tara Banks, fool. Penny is out. Memphis, down goes Frazier. So that's two 5-12s that are out. You throw in McNeese taking out Clemson.
Yeah, and basically, I think, again, Mike, if I was a betting man, which I am, I would say about we can expect maybe two, even three more of these today.
Right. Duke is destroying the 16 seed Mount St. Mary's. Vandy and St. Mary's are pretty close right now. It's a 7-point game. Vandy's up. UNC and Miss, Ole Miss. Revs are up by 9 right now, 20-11. Keep you up to speed. More coming up. And Steve Coonan will join us next segment. Right now, though, we mentioned a lot about the dynamic in the locker room and talked about how does Kirk Cousins being here affect what happens with the Falcons. Brian McFadden said, bad idea. We asked Obi Mihaly yesterday. I wanted you guys to hear this. It was late in the show yesterday. Former Falcons fullback and a pro bowler and a good dude. Does a great podcast, Believe Network. I said, Obi, what's going to be like if Kurt's here in August?
It's going to be strange because, and me and Mike talked about this. We filmed the episode of Believe in Falcons for the first time in a long time. And we were talking about Kirk Cousins supposedly being frustrated or him supposedly holding out or acting up in any way. Like I would hope to think that he has enough maturity and he realizes the optics around the fact that, dude, you won. Like the $100 million that you got guaranteed and not given that production, you should not cause any distraction at all. And even though most guys, most players are in support of those who hold out because, as you mentioned, guys got a limited amount to make money, make your money. But if they see somebody that's taking advantage of the system and that's just doing things that are unbecoming, like Kirk would be doing if he did anything but be a model Falcon citizen, that would rub people the wrong way.
All right, so with that as the backdrop, from your experience and everything you've seen in the league and transaction-wise, do you believe that between now and the start of the season, there will be a team desperate enough to bite and make a trade?
I don't think so. I mean, I would like it to be wrapped up with a bow before the start of the season, but I think it's going to have to be one of these, we want to, because they want to get the most out of the Kirk Cousins trade and everyone else wants to get him for cheap, and it's not going to happen until something happens midseason. You know, God forbid an injury to a starter where they need somebody, or desperation is a very powerful motivator. That desperation is going to occur game 4, 5, or 6 when the guy who was supposed to lead this team to the Super Bowl has a season-ending injury. And like Kirk has said, he did not forget how to play football. For some reason, he got injured and didn't tell anybody, but he didn't forget how to play football, and he can be a great quarterback to fill in that role for a team when he's that one missing piece. So I don't think it's going to happen, or the Falcons aren't going to let him go until they see exactly what they want, and that's not going to happen until midseason.
Yeah, it may be a compromise and just trying to buy. That's the thing. I think any idea, it gets – like it's disappearing, it's going away. The idea that we could get like a draft pick for this NFL draft, Obi, just seems like it's not going to be in the offing. So maybe a post-June trade, you know, somebody comes with an injury or, as you said, just a strange set of circumstances. Obi Mihaly's with us, guys, here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Falcons legendary fullback. As far as the rest of the squad, it seems to me like the offense is good to go. Did you see enough from Michael Penix Jr.? Do you feel confident that he's there'll be some rookie mistakes because it's still kind of a rookie, you know, first season, but how do you feel he's going to play?
Oh, I love Michael Penix. That's a guy to where Falcons fans like, oh, in Terry Fontenot we trust, because if Terry did not make that move, we would be in one of these Falcons offseason like we've seen ourselves year after year, wondering what the heck are we going to do now? Like, we got another, you know, a quarterback conundrum, and we're bringing out guys from retirement and just scratched our head. No, we don't have that. We, for the first time in a long time, have a solid QB, not only a solid QB, but a superstar in the making, to where if he just grows, if he just does the bare minimum and keeps on getting better, we can win games. Because we were, year before, 2 years before, 3 years before, we were a quarterback away from winning games. And so Michael Penix is a guy who I think is coachable enough to where all those rookie mistakes we saw before, he can fix those and find a way to be the durable, consistent QB, level-headed QB that we've been missing for years.
With as important as the center quarterback connection is, were you surprised, A, that they let Dahlman go, and then B, do you think that Nuziel is the guy?
Yes, I was surprised, and yes, I think that he's the guy, just because the rest of our offensive line, they showed, and you know, as a honorary offensive lineman, as a fullback, I watched those guys, and they showed that they could handle themselves. Bijan didn't get those yards by himself, even though he is an amazing talent and broke some tackles. That offensive line was doing their dang job all season long, and they kept the QB clean for the most part. So the fact that they have a cohesion, that they have a brotherhood, they have a certain, rhythm that they're in, as long as you're not replacing 2, 3, 4 guys, you're fine. So I think you'd be able to switch in a new center and not lose too much steam.
Yeah, man, Nuziel, like I said, we joke around. Obi, we didn't complain about him, you know, so he was conspicuous without making mistakes. I love Bergeron, by the way, on the left side. He's got some attitude. Oh, yeah. He's a fun dude. He was confident from the jump. So you're right. The offensive line, knock wood, good to go. McGarry, though, do you worry about McGarry sometime protecting now the blind side?
That's weird, man. Like, the blind side has changed up, and you usually pay the left tackle. Now, do you pay the left tackle less that now he's not the blindside tackle and the right tackle is the blindside tackle? Interesting how they do that. But Caleb McGarry, we had him on the show, the podcast, and had a chance to talk to him a little deeper. I feel like he's a guy who understands that he's good. He's on that cusp of being great, consistently great, like a Pro Bowl player, but it's going to take work. And now that the lights are going to be on him, he's going to be the blindside lineman. I think he can raise his game. I've seen it before. I've done it before. When the pressure is the most and, you know, people are talking about can he do it, and that doubt, that chip on your shoulder, that makes you dig deep and find ways to be the best version of yourself. I think Caleb can do that.
With the offseason moves so far, plus whatever they're going to do in the draft, Ovi, is the defense spackled enough to this point where they're going to be able to remain competitive in games and not have what happened last season and the season before, where you're giving up game-winning drives and giving up blowouts to teams like the Panthers?
I don't think so. I feel like we need more, man. Whenever I get confident, like last year, we got Justin Simmons. I was like, oh, well, we're in there. We got Jude on. I was like, oh. It's over. We're going to the Super Bowl. I'm like, you look at Justin Simmons' production, and the guy's like one of the top intercepting safeties in the last 3, 4, 5 years in Denver. Like, oh, he's going to come in and automatically make us a contender. Didn't happen. You think see Judon and, you know, him in his red jersey, red sleeves, was like, oh, man, this guy's going to come out here and be a red flash and be out there in the back. He's going to live. It's a party at the quarterback. Didn't happen. So as much as I want to be optimistic, I need y'all to overcompensate on defense. Make me at all five positions feel good that you guys got more than enough. Because we go hand. We go hard for offense all the time with the Bijans and the Drakes and the Kyle Pitts. And we getting Penix. We spending money and time. And defense, it seems like we just have a hope and a dream and say, this should be good enough. We got some duct tape here, and we got a little Lorenzo there. And add this guy. No, I want us to go as hard on defense as we go on offense. You know, you got rid of my boy Grady Jarrett. We need to build up that D so we can make sure we get to the QB.
And that's the thing, man, is Ovi Mihaly, a longtime Falcon, joins us here. Guys, check him out on the Believe Network with his podcast. Always got great insight on your favorite team. And that's the thing, Ovi. I mean, it's almost like we got to get results from the young guys. Troy Anderson's got to stay on the field. Rook Aroro, IR last year for half the season. They moved up because they expect him to be a real difference maker on that D-line. And then, you know, Braylon Trice. I love what I saw from Braylon Trice last summer. And then, of course, blows his knee out in the preseason game. Those guys all have to really have an impact. I mean, kind of like the rookies in 2016 did.
Yep. And that's why we got to the Super Bowl. Because those young players, you're as good as your worst players. If your worst players can get coached up, can find ways on special teams to, you know, to play out of their mind, that's when teams win championships. And we got to get our young guys, our free agents, our new guys. We can't have anybody taking plays off. We can't have any busts or bad picks and it didn't work out. Like my man Arlo Ebikadi, you know, my fellow African, he has to go out there and not just wait till the second half of the season to go off. Like, do that all year long. Start game one. Like, show us what you got and take that next step. I love AK. I love what he did coming off the bye and just seemed to be a different person. I need that all season long from him and Troy Anderson stay healthy. Troy was – I talked a little trash about Troy Anderson. I'm like, he doesn't look like an NFL linebacker. But he showed me and played like an NFL linebacker with his numbers. I want Troy to be healthy and make our defense better. So we'll see. But, you know, we kind of backed up Kirk Cousins with Michael Penix. Let's do that in some big positions on defense. Let's have more than one option that we can trust that will get the job done. Why not?
All right, Ovi, this time next year, calendar year from now, are we talking about Kyle Pitts, the new focal fixture in the Falcons offense, or how he's suiting up for the Rams?
Ooh. That's a good one. And funny enough, shout out to the organization I work with, Community and Schools. They have a big event that I'm the chair of, Choose Success. They're the number one dropout prevention program in the country. And my man Frank Brown, who runs it, we're doing some big things. The Falcons were blessing us with a Kyle Pitts jersey. And I said, all right, this jersey's going to mean something. We're auctioning this off, so Kyle Pitts has got to make it happen. So, Kyle, I got your jersey. We're going to raise some money for these kids, and we are going to stay positive and say that the rookie Kyle Pitts, the Pro Bowler Kyle Pitts, with Matt Ryan, because he had a quarterback. I can't a quarterback with Kirk, too, but Kirk was off and on. But with Michael Penix, hopefully that young energy will bring Kyle Pitts back. I feel like he's too good. He's too talented. And same thing that I talked about before, he's got to hear the noise. Yes. He's got to hear the chirping. And for me personally, I don't like people doubting me, especially when I know I have the talent. And so I'm going to do everything I can to make everyone eat those words. And Kyle should be wanting to do that because there are a lot of people who don't think he has it. So I would take that as a challenge and go out there and have a Pro Bowl year. Hopefully he does that.
I'll speak for Carl, who's in Vegas. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have the eye of the tiger. We talked about loving the game, but I hope he does. He's a really nice guy. He's a family man. He's a good dude. It's never personal. It's business. But I just didn't like his camp putting it out there, Ovi. I'm going to work 10 times harder because immediately, you know what people say on Twitter. So what were you doing last year? Either way.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah.
You know, that's part of it. And one last nugget for you before we cut you loose. Coach Raheem, you know, he was no rookie. I mean, he'd been around the league. Is he going to get better with these coaching decisions? And what do you think Ulbrich's going to bring as far as the D.C.?
Yeah, Ulbrich's going to bring everything. I mean, look at that man's numbers. People talk a good game, but actions speak louder than words. And his actions and his numbers say that the man knows what he's doing. He can get us a result. But Raheem, I mean, we all did. All of Atlanta did a detailed breakdown of how he manages the clock and not calling timeouts. I would hope that he learned – that was inexplicable because he's already a veteran coach. But now I think he's going to go and work twice as hard just to make the little things matter. And those small decisions are not going to hurt us, because your job as a coach is to help us win games, not to ever hurt the team. And a couple decisions were questionable enough to where people were wondering what's really going on. But nah, Raheem has it. In Terry Fontenot, we trust, and Raheem, we trust. He's going to bring it together. He's got to. He has a rookie quarterback, yes, and a lot of opportunity. So I'm going to stay positive with the Falcons and hope that they give us something to cheer about.
Right on. Ovi, always bringing positivity and action. All right, big man.
And
we'll be catching you.
To.
The Believe Podcast. Appreciate you coming on, spending time, man. Enjoy the rest of the tournament.
Will do. Thank you, sir.
Got to find a way to move Kirk. Mike Bell, they have to find a
yep.
way.
Yep, Ovi giving you the breakdown. We talked about Brian McFadden echoed those same sentiments earlier today. If you missed that, that's going to come up in the 6 o'clock hour. Up next, though, live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead, this hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. It's Dukes and Bell. We got a full house. Guys are watching all the tournament action. Got an upset. Memphis is done. Up next, though, it's our man Puffy K. Steve Koonin talking about those Hawks. And can they get on another run, or is it going to be one step forward, two steps back? Up next, it's the Dubs. Warriors in town. We'll talk to Steve next. Hey, man, we got the best listeners in town. Just hanging out with Hasselhoff and our buddy John Caracillo. And all of a sudden, this guy walks up. And because I heard you talking about cigars on the air earlier, Dukes and Bell, with Chris in for Carl. We're live at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Anyway, Charles comes over. He goes, what do you smoke? I go, I love those Perdomos. What? Whips out a Perdomo 10th anniversary.
Wow.
Maduro rep. So we're enjoying cigars. I don't know if Steve Koonin is a cigar guy. I don't know if that's part of his repertoire. Let's find out. He is a well-rounded dude. Joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, the CEO of your Atlanta Hawks. Hanging in there, baby, grinding for that 7th seed. Steve, are you a cigar guy?
No, I am. No, I'm not.
Okay. Joining us next.
Really... Yeah. Bye. Have a good week.
No, I didn't know. I kind of leaned you might not be a cigar guy, but no. Okay.
No, you know, I look at my body as a temple, one closed for repairs, but as a temple, and no smoke.
Don't we all? Steve, not to start on a sour note, but can you please explain what happened with your Bulldogs yesterday?
Yeah, not our football team.
Right.
Oof, that was tough.
Yeah.
That was tough. You know, and first time we've been in the tournament in a long, long time in Gonzaga.
Right.
Very experienced. The stage looked a little big. It looked a little bit big for us. But I'm glad we got the experience, and hopefully some of these guys stay. And, you know, next year Dominique's son's going to be playing Jacob for
right.
the Dogs. So it'd be nice to have multiple, you know, star players and do some damage, but unfortunately the SEC is also not looking superb so far in the tournament, but Vanderbilt's winning and Ole Miss is winning, so maybe we'll get back on track.
Yeah, Steve, I don't know how much, you know, you as a UGA alum, when it's cooking, it's great. It just happens so infrequently. We talked about the history going back to when Tubby really had things going. Unfortunately, could not say no to the Kentucky job, and it's just been a lot of meh. I mean, I've always wondered how passionate are Georgia Bulldog fans about their men's basketball program, because I love the idea of bringing a Rick Pitino. I've been ranting and raving about that. You mentioned it. Mike White does have Dominique's son coming next year. A lot of our audience pointed that out. But it's just, you see Alabama, you see Auburn, you see everybody who's a powerhouse in football doing it in the basketball program. So why can't Georgia be that same school?
I think it's really a strange situation. It makes no sense. Stegman has been around since I was down there. Maybe it was facilities for a while, but they've improved it. I truly don't know, because some of the best basketball players in the country are from this part. You know, and even Anthony Edwards really didn't move the needle when he was there. And we see what he is now. It's kind of astounding. But hopefully Mike White will build a program, and that's what you got to build. You can't have a bunch of one-offs. You got to build a real program. You know, and Gonzaga was a program. Mark Few had, I think, been to 15 or 16, you know, tournaments in a row. So it showed. It truly showed.
Talk about building a program. Quinn Snyder's program is being built right here in Atlanta with the Hawks in the 7th seed right now, playing pretty well. 6-4 in the last 10, Steve, with a big test, even sans Steph Curry, with the red-hot Warriors coming to town with Jimmy Butler and company. What kind of challenge do you expect that to present, and what a fun night of basketball it should be at State Farm?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Last year was what I call the perfect game for the Hawks. We played Golden State, totally sold out. Steph had 60, and we won.
Right.
So the fans got to see an exhibition, you know, a historic exhibition, and we won, which is what matters. So, you know, did you see that fall he took yesterday?
Yes, we were just talking about it. They said it's a contusion, so it's a bruise to the pelvis. No structural damage, because then you're going to be walking funny and having troubles with other things. But, yeah, he's going to unfortunately miss the East Coast swing. Jimmy Buckets will be here, though. Obviously, Draymond will be here. Those are brands. Be very interesting when Jimmy Butler returns to Miami. That'll be must-see TV. But, yeah, I just hope the Hawks can, you know, sustain. We talked about how frustrating, you know, the loss to the Brooklyn Nets were. They do a great job. And Reese Hoshea, I loved hearing Trey pumping up Reese Hoshea for Rookie of the Year the other night. Part of the leadership and really, you know, pumping up his guys.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and one of the anomalies that I'm not sure everybody really understands is once the season starts, there's rarely a day that we get to practice. Because if you look at the schedule, we're either traveling or we're playing every other day. And we had this anomaly of a week where we played in Charlotte, which is only a 40-minute flight Tuesday night, and we've been off. So there has been great practices Thursday, Friday, and today. Real practices, hard practices, and you're able to sit there and put some things back in. And I'm very excited about tomorrow night, and I'm very excited about Sunday at 6, by the way, which is a perfect game to bring the family. 6 o'clock games are great.
You're what I say, Saturday, Sunday. My bad. Sorry about that.
Yep, Saturday and Sunday. So we had this anomaly of rest, which I will tell you a team needs. And you talk about Reese Hoshea. He got injured about 5 weeks ago, and he missed 2.5 weeks. And he's been a monster since coming back. And so, we kind of forget how long this season actually is. And so I think this week is going to be revitalizing for our players. And I'm, like I said, I'm very optimistic.
We're talking about awards. And, Steve, I'm just going to speak for myself here. I don't understand why Dyson Daniels isn't higher on some list for Defensive Player of the Year that I'm seeing. But he just continues to be a magician, the Great Barrier Thief, all the other fun nicknames out there. But he's been nothing short of a revelation, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, we're marketing Dyson to voters for Defensive Player of the Year, and he absolutely deserves it. I do believe he is a lock for all defensive team, and I think that's what matters. You know, unfortunately, when you look at our scoring average of what we give up, I think that could dissuade some people who don't pay attention to what he really does. But if you get down and you pay attention and you see this, you know, he'll have the most steals in the NBA in a season in 2 decades. He has more deflections, I think, than anybody in history, or since they've been keeping that stat, the history of keeping that stat. And he has created a he's become such a weapon, you see other teams not going against him, which is fantastic, which helps on the defense and pushes people away from Dyson. So let him continue. And I think people don't realize he's every bit of 6'7", maybe even 6'8".
Yep.
And he's a really good guy and a really good player. And I think Reese Hoshea will finish in the top 2 or 3 and hopefully number 1 for Rookie of the Year. And that's what you want to see from the team is progress. You know, you want to see growth and progress. And so if that happens, and, you know, let's get in the playoffs and let's do some damage. Let's have some fun. You know, a good friend of mine told me you want to play meaningful games in the spring, and that should be our goal. And that is our goal as a team.
And we've said it, Steve, before, that we know that Trey, we've seen him do it a couple of years ago, beating Charlotte, going up to Cleveland, getting the win. That was before Cleveland really cranked things up. But where you are right now, a game and a half over the Magic. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like catching the Pistons is viable. They're just on fire, and Cade Cunningham just gets stronger and stronger. But we know in that matchup that, you know, certainly Trey can take it over. And then if it's the Celtics or if it's Cleveland, I mean, I keep bringing up the 2008 Celtics team with Kevin Garnett. You know, anything is possible. That was the year that Zaza and the Hawks and Joe Johnson took them all the way to seven games. So I think the fans would go bananas. Obviously, we want to win the series, but that would be something that everyone would be talking about.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm very optimistic that the city will come out in big numbers for the playoffs. You know, when you look at our Atlanta sports teams and who's been in the playoffs and played meaningful playoff games, we're kind of at the top of the list. And it's something that's when you really have to have home field advantages during the playoffs. When the rotations tighten and so do the sphincters, we want to make sure that we, have an advantage. So literally want everybody there and want you guys promoting it and pushing it. The Pistons turnaround is historic. I mean, you got to hand it to them. I watched the end of their game against Miami the other night. They were down by 14, and they won on a 27-foot bank shot three by Cunningham, and he had all the confidence in the world to take it and make it.
Steve, before we let you go, real quick, we've been talking about Trae Young during this interview. Mike mentioned the proclamation he made himself about Reese Shea for Rookie of the Year. What does it mean for the organization to have him come out and be that sort of a vocal leader, something that maybe he was a leader behind the scenes, but I feel like this year he's just taken such a giant step forward, and it's been so nice to see.
I think Trae is the wily veteran at 26 years old on this group, and for him to come out and use his platform promoting his teammates is exactly what leadership is. So obviously very, very happy to see.
Hey, man, by the way, I don't really care about anyone else's bracket, but we love you. How's your bracket doing?
My bracket, candidly, is I have not lost a game in it.
Wow. You're going to win the loot. Give that all that money to charity. Look at you.
No, I didn't do it. I didn't do a bracket.
Oh, you're not allowed to?
It's a little gray.
I know that the athletic director got Rick Neuheisel at Washington over it. If you want to use that as a weapon, you can weaponize, I guess, your March Madness bracket. But I didn't realize you could not do that either.
It's just a little gray. You know, so sometimes the best place to sit is on the sidelines.
All right, big boy.
Now, I have all four games on right now. But, It's the greatest. I was fortunate enough to be part of the group at Turner that brought it to, CBS and the Turner combination. And I love every year hearing everybody ask what True TV is, which was one of my networks. But this is an American holiday, and it's great.
Right on.
And it's here in Atlanta next weekend at our building, guys.
We gave away some tickets for it, man. A lot of folks are excited. We said not the 15 or the 17. You get it, for the exclusivity thing. But anyway, yes, tournament pause action coming to State Farm, man. It's going to be electric. Can't wait.
See, where I won't do a bracket, I can say it. We have it. We have the tournament. So I can say, come see the NCAA. Yes. Sweet 16 and Elite 8 live at State Farm Arena next weekend.
It's going to be bananas, and we'll be there, brother. Have a great weekend, Steve.
All right, man.
Take care. You got it. Carl's out in Vegas. He's hopefully, I wonder how his brackets are doing. I wonder if he had Memphis advancing. Memphis is the upset today. We'll get you up to speed on that. Also, some content from our morning shift talking about what the Falcons are going to do, what people have to say about the Falcons and Kirk Cousins. And we'll also get into, if you missed it, what Ovi and Brian McFadden had to say about what's it like when you have a guy that's a little bit of a Benedict Arnold in your locker room. Live from Twin Peaks Buckhead, Dukes of Bell.